Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. So this morning, I'm going to start with those with no faith. In every generation, there are those who do not believe. In the time of Jesus, there were those who did not believe. Consider Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 and through 58. When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. Oh, Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." In a parable passage, we read Mark chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." First of all, I think it's interesting to understand that even though there was unbelief, the Lord Jesus took the time to heal some who apparently did believe. And I think it's a marvel that he rebuked his own disciples because of their unbelief. Mark chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who saw him after he had risen. Right after this declaration and rebuke of their unbelief and their hardness of heart, Jesus sends them into the world to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And Jesus zeroes in on the importance of belief. Read verses 15 and 17 of this same chapter, Mark 16. "Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." These signs, we often think of, were for the purpose of the spreading of the gospel. And that certainly was true. But I believe that it was to help the disciples continue to actually believe. It was their assurance that they needed to believe that Jesus was alive. And continuing reading 19 and 20. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So the signs were as much for the disciples because of their unbelief that would allow them to continue to believe and to grow in their unbelief and eventually continue to believe and actually believe. Jesus was constantly encouraging the importance of faith and believing. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 25. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, and believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses, forgive them." Stand praying and forgiving. Faith and belief and prayer are so critical that even Jesus shows concern and asks a question. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not be down. She shall not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Here we discover that faith and belief must be coupled with daily and nightly prayers, believing that we will receive what we pray for, even as we pray for it. And not only was Jesus concerned about faith being on the earth, but also the prayers may not be there day or night, crying out to the Father with belief that he will come and answer. Now, consider those of little faith. In the Gospel of Matthew, when the disciples are in a boat with Jesus, Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" I think that it's curious that his own disciples now here not only are believed, are shown in the first part to have unbelief, but here have even yet little faith. And in another version of this same event, we see that Peter is specifically told he has little faith. Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 23. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was along the way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him and saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Why did you doubt? Those of little faith have that element of doubt. Consider this passage in Luke chapter 12. Verses 22 through 31. He said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, be not anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat, what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you." Again, faith is tied to doing the will of the Father. As we wait for his return, if we are thus believing and have faith that he will come, therefore ministering to the household of faith, Jesus tells us that even if our faith is little, even as small as a mustard seed, it will grow to a mountain. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. "When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever he seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if I can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying and convulsing terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the town, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So even here, though Jesus calls them a generation of faithlessness, he still takes the time to teach them. As Jesus speaks to the Father about his Son, he helps the Father to confess that though he believes, he prays that Jesus helps him with his unbelief. Here we have a confession and a prayer for help. When Jesus hears this, he rebukes the boy and heals him. When his disciples ask as to why they could not cast it out, the mute and deaf spirit, he tells them that they needed prayer from them and from the Father. When the Father said, help my unbelief, he was praying. And in that same way, the disciples should have prayed, I believe, help us with our unbelief, when they tried to cast the demon out. So once again, we see faith and prayer being connected. One more example of little faith is Thomas. He needed to see Jesus before he would even believe. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas made a strong declaration, I will never believe. But when we read further, there is a change in Thomas. With strong, firm, yet loving exhortation, Jesus tells Thomas, do not disbelieve, but believe. And then Jesus exhorts everyone who believes without having seen him. And then John himself summarizes in that same chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, let's take some look at examples of abundant belief. There are examples of people who demonstrate great belief, and Jesus honors such people with astonishing praise. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 7. Read verses 1 through 10. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is one who has built our synagogue." Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you. But say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in all of Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. It was marvelous to see such a faith in a centurion. But it must have pricked the heart of Jesus to know that not in all Israel had he witnessed such faith. Not only faith, but humility and a confession of being unworthy to receive Jesus into his own home. I believe that he prayed for his servant. Also, to show such care for a servant was already unusual. What makes this unusual is that it's a Gentile. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you that many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Another example is a Canaanite woman. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Verses 21 through 28. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He said and answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed immediately. Here we see again a non-Israelite woman, a Canaanite. She first acknowledges her place as being outside of Israel's blessed people of God. But despite that, she still believes that she humbles herself and that she will be blessed, even if her blessing would be no greater than a few breadcrumbs that fell from the master's table. Again, Jesus praised her for this great faith. And once again, we see another example of great faith by two people. And in both cases, they cry out in prayer for help. Mark chapter 5. This is a combination example of great faith. And in this case, these are people of Israel. Verses 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of his rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had grown out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who it had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." That was on the way to the ruler of the synagogue's home, whose son was having some trouble. Jesus takes the time to expose the faith of a desperate woman who believed that just by touching the hem of his garment of Jesus, she would be healed. It was a sign to Israel of the possibility of great faith. And embedded within this story is this. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion of weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. They were immediately overcome with amazement, and he strictly charged them not to tell anyone of this and told them to go give her something to eat. So first, this man, Jairus, humbles himself at the feet of Jesus and implores and prays that Jesus heals his daughter. And on the way, messenger comes and say, "Well, she's already dead. Don't bother the master." But Jesus says and looks at Jairus and says, "Do not fear, but just believe." So again, prayer, because he implores Jesus, and belief are vital in the raising of his daughter from the death. The ruler believed. One more, Luke chapter 18. Verses 35 through 43. He drew near to Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. When he came near, he asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people who saw it gave praise to God. Why would any of us want to stop someone from crying to God for mercy? The blind man was praying, and in that prayer, he was believing. Lastly, we've seen that prayer and faith go hand in hand. No matter if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, or your prayer to help your unbelief, or you have great faith, you must pray and believe while you pray. Take a look at one more last scripture, Luke 22. Verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." He had prayed that Peter's faith may not fail. So as the day draws near to our Lord's return, pray and believe, and believe and pray until he comes. Do this day and night, day and night, day and night. Believing and praying.